I mean, I talked to one guy. He was a he ran a recruiting firm for engineers, and I remember it was he was very nice, and he just said, "Look, this is going to be a hard road." Right? He was very blunt about it, and I do appreciate it. I didn't like to hear it at the time, but in hindsight, he gave me the same spiel that I would give most people in my position, which is, seem like a smart guy, but getting into this is going to be harder than you think, and I got quite lucky.
This is Aaron and Ash. You're listening to Path into Product, a show for students and professionals considering product management as a career. We interview actual product professionals and share their insights and tips for getting into the rewarding career that is product management. Welcome back, everyone. We're so glad to have you at Path into Product. Today, we are listening to Trevor Bruner, who brings 9 years of experience in the product management world. Right now, he is currently a principal product manager at SailPoint. Welcome, Trevor. We're glad to have you.
Thank you, Aaron. Really appreciate being here. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, we are as well. So let's just kick things off and ask for your definition of what is product management.
Product management, it's making sure that you're helping the team give customers not only what they want, but what they need, and figuring out what that is based upon input from a whole variety of sources. So, business, sales, customers themselves, what is the vision of the product, and synthesizing all of that to get the right thing out to the marketplace. That's what I see my job as.
Yeah, and there's a lot of pieces to that that I'd love to dig into. One is you've kind of made this distinction between wants and needs, right? And we usually hear that like in a personal finance or a budgeting context, right? So help us understand a little bit the difference between customer wants and customer needs, and how do you really drive towards those needs?
Lots and lots of questions. So I think in analogies, and I can imagine a lot of customers are trying to be incredibly helpful, and what I've recognized is that when I'm talking to a customer, I am just a bit of what is important to them. They've got a bigger problem to solve, and I am but the product that I work on is but a piece of that. And so I think of this as like going to the doctor and saying, "Hey, doc, I need some pain medication." Right? And you could be a ticket taker and great, here's a prescription for some pain medicine. But you really want to, ask the why. Why? What's going on? Oh, well, turns out my leg has got an extra joint in it right now because I broke it. Oh, okay. Well, then that's another, like the pain medicine is what they're asking for. They don't want to be in pain, but what they really need is to get their leg fixed, right? That's the thing. And then that's the first level of why, right? But then you go a step further than that, and this sounds silly, but why do you want your leg fixed, right? I want to be able to carry my kid up and down the stairs, right? I just want to be able to play with my son or my daughter. Is it, I want to go hike Kilimanjaro, right? And so at that level, you can start to think about, well, is it really that they need the cast? Yes, but do we need to put them on a fitness routine, right? What's the ultimate reason for this? Obviously, fixing the leg is important, right? But understanding that next level can help you figure out where the product needs to be going in the future, right? So what's the real fundamental reason why they're the solution that they're looking for? And that's going to be gained by a lot of customer calls. There's also you can use other people in the company to gather insight as well. Use your sales, your technical sales, pre-sales folks, customer success, they are talking to a lot of customers on a daily basis, right? And so you using them well is a great way to distill down a lot of customer input, right? It's not a substitute for direct customer conversations, but it's a fantastic what should I think of?
Supplement,
Yeah,
perhaps.
there you go. It's a great way to supplement that customer feedback.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have a little discovery project I'm working on right now, and I've done a handful of customer interviews and happened to have a sales guy reach out to me on the same theme. And so I started asking him a couple of questions, and he provided, you know, a little bit more flavor of data points. So I love how you say it's working across, you know, some of those other organizations that are interacting with customers in a from a specific angle, right? And having that supplement or complement your own direct primary research. Yeah, that's great. Now, another thing you also said in your definition of product management is you're helping the team. I want to talk about both of those things, right? How do you help? And then who is the team?
Who is the team? That's a great question, because it's, you know, there's this team in the small, the team in the large. I've got a great affinity for the developers who actually write the code to actually gets delivered to customers. I do think, though, oftentimes if it's left just to the engineers, they have a tendency to want to build a beautiful Fabergé egg that's wonderful and beautiful, pristine, but takes a lot of effort, and maybe more is needed on that spot than there's more effort put into that spot than is necessary. And so helping figure out, do you need the Fabergé egg, or do you need something a little less elegant, perhaps, right? If you leave it completely up to sales, right, they're incentivized to close deals, and so they want to give the customer that pain medicine. So they, if it's just up to sales, they're gonna do whatever the last customer asks of them. And so it's taking all of those inputs, digesting them, and trying to figure out where is the biggest impact for the lowest cost, while still maintaining that purity of product vision. And that's where the challenge lies. And so, yeah, the team, I typically think of the team as the engineering, UX, that's the people who are building, but it's also helping the team in the large, which is the larger organization, see where the product is, right? It's the sales team. It's enabling them to help customers see what it is we're doing and why. Right, so that they can, that we can bring customers around to our way of thinking, and make sure they understand why the product is going in the direction it's going.
Yeah, I like that. Well said. One more question in terms of, like, we're kind of in this what is product management theme, but you have an interesting title, which is Principal Product Manager. Could you help us understand a little bit, what's the difference between a Principal Product Manager and maybe a regular Product Manager?
It's just a matter of seniority, I think, at this point. I think that's the primary difference, is just a matter of seniority. And different companies, I think, have different terminology. So a company like... yeah, some of the bigger, this would translate into perhaps a different title at a different company. But fundamentally, my job here on the product I'm working on is no different than the product manager on a smaller product or smaller company.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. So Trevor, we would love to hear, what is your path into product?
So had you asked me after in college or shortly thereafter, I would have had no idea what a product manager was. So I had much like a lot of people, I had a very long, strange, tortured path into product management. I was, I'll try to give you the short version of this. I got a petroleum engineering degree from the University of Oklahoma. I was in the Navy for 7 years after college. So I was a nuclear submarine officer based in Pearl Harbor, which has nothing to do with being a software product manager. After I got out of the Navy, I was a financial advisor for a few years, which is working in sales, and realized I like talking to people, but when it comes time to, you know, closing the deal, there's other people better suited to that than me. And I gained a great deal of respect for people in that line of work. After getting out of the Navy, I apologize. I forgot this. I was a drilling rig supervisor, worked on an offshore drilling rig off the coast of West Africa for a while, and drilled wells there and up in actually Colorado for, that was a couple years. Then I was a financial advisor. Went back and got an MBA after realizing that sales were not for me. And for whatever reason, tech started interesting me quite a bit there. I think I was able to take a breath, and the software was starting to get quite interesting. After that, after getting my MBA, I moved down here to Austin. And during my MBA, I wanted to come down here to Austin. And so I was using all my connections to knock on doors, have coffee, et cetera, with people down here. So I'd come down and tell them my story and say, what do you recommend? Right? Give me your advice. And I was knocking on doors and meeting with people. And there was one guy, he was an OU alum, and he's like, look, I like your resume. You seem like a great guy. I should introduce you to a buddy of mine. About 5 minutes later, that buddy happened to just pop in. And that was the CEO of the first company I started working for. So I called him up. He shuffled me off to his second charge, called him up, and got into that company, not knowing what the heck I was doing. They brought me, go ahead.
I was going to ask, you got into that company. Was that your first product role, or what did they bring you on as?
Yeah. So that was that whole getting in as a product. So I came in, that company at the time was about 15 or 20 people. They were doing a few different things. One of which was they were an IBM reseller. So I could resell IBM products. And they brought me in to help resell SPSS Modeler, which is this big, expensive statistical modeling package that IBM has. At the same time, I was to do demos and to help people get set up with it and whatnot. So part of my job was to learn that piece of software. At the same time, they were building some custom mobile apps for customers. People would come and say, hey, I've got a few $1,000. I want to build a mobile app to do XYZ, and we would help them. And so I started transitioning into that conduit between the engineering, like managing who was doing what on which mobile apps, and talking to the customers about what they're looking for. And it was this kind of slowly morphed into kind of product management. And then we started building this other piece of cloud software. And so I morphed into kind of product there, because again, not sales, not engineering, somewhere in the middle of all of that. And that's how I morphed into a product manager. And I was there for about 18 months or so. And then I joined, went to my next company I got hired on as a product manager, and the rest is history.
That is awesome. What a fun story. I want to dig into some things that you mentioned there, and would love to better understand some of those. So as you started reaching out to people, what did you expect from them? Like, what was your expectations as you said, I knocked on doors, mm-hmm. Or reached out to people? What were you expecting in return from them?
Expecting, I think, is a bit strong, right? I was kind of trying to go into that without any expectations. And I recognized that I didn't deserve anything from them. I was lucky to get 15, 20, 30 minutes of their time. What I tried to do was draw on their sense of empathy, or the school connection was a strong one. And most people like to get asked about their, ask for advice. And honestly, what I was really hoping was to get one or two other people that they could refer me to. So if I could get a little bit of insight from them, and then if they could say, oh, here's somebody else you should talk to, that was a win in my book. Because again, I didn't know what the software space was at the time. So what is the difference between a product manager and a project manager? What is technical pre-sales versus account executive, right? Software engineer versus engineering manager. A lot of those roles and what different companies do and sell, like, I was completely ignorant to all of that. And so through those conversations, you could start getting a little bit of insight into that. And also just how do you break into this, into this industry if you're not a developer, right? If you're a developer, it's very straightforward. I can code. Let me show you my code. I am now a junior developer. And again, I'm not trying to trivialize it, but it's a fairly straightforward path. Trying to get into product management or trying to get into this industry, if you're not trying to sell and you're not trying to code, it's a difficult beast. And so that was what I was really trying to learn, is how do you do that?
Gotcha. That's awesome. Okay. So I want to keep on the same theme for just another minute or so, but talk about who and how you reached out to these people. Like what were their roles and what did they do and how did you reach out to each of them?
So I was, at the time, I was getting my MBA at the University of Oklahoma up in Norman, Oklahoma. And so the people there are educators and they are hungry to help their students, right? And I'm sure this is the case with people at all universities. They love to be able to help the students, especially those who show interest. And so I would just pop into different people's offices, professors, administrators, people who were there to help the MBA students, and develop a relationship with them. And then, like, that was from before I even knew I wanted to come down here to Austin. And then once I had a sense of what I wanted, I could then ask them, do we know anybody? Do you know anybody? Who should I talk to? This is what I'm looking for at a high level. Can you help with that? Does this make sense? Right? Is what I'm looking for. Does my background fit anything? Are there any natural affinities that you can think of? Because again, I was very ignorant about all of this. And so they would make introductions down here. I met a variety of folks down here, and I would give them that same pitch. You know, I've got a technical background, but it's not in software. I've been in sales. I've done all these different things. I've led people in a drilling rig. With all of that knowledge, what makes sense to you? Right? Does any of this seem to fit anywhere? And it seemed to be that was sort of the direction most people were like, well, this seems to make a lot of sense to go that route. Now it's just a matter of getting in. I talked to one guy, he ran a recruiting firm for engineers. And I remember he was very nice. And he just said, look, this is gonna be a hard road, right? He was very blunt about it. And I do appreciate it. I didn't like to hear it at the time, but in hindsight, he gave me the same spiel that I would give most people in my position, which is, you know, seem like a smart guy, but getting into this is going to be harder than you think. And I got quite lucky.
Was it harder than you thought it would be?
Again, I got quite lucky. So with that conversation where the gentleman was like, you need to meet a friend of mine. Had it not been for that personal connection there, and this would not have, I don't know how I would have got into this line of work had it not been for that stroke of luck. It was, you know, I look back and I realize I was very lucky.
Yeah, I really resonate with that sentiment, right? Of you just never know what the one connection is going to be, right? That finally gets you in there. But you've done all that work of cultivating the relationships and having these conversations and that sort of thing. As you were talking to all of these different people, you're sort of asking, you know, do I have a natural fit somewhere? What sort of roles were they recommending to you? Did product ever come up at that point, or was that still a faraway thing?
No, product did seem to make sense. It was where I had I was getting that feedback that product seems like the right fit, right? And again, you're not going to start off being the product manager for some big, large product, right? You're going to come in and, you know, help out on some piece of a larger product. And even that, I had to get my head wrapped around that idea, right? Again, it's like, I feel like, again, thinking in analogies, when you start off, if you think about building a product, like, you know, being like an architect, and I don't mean like a software architect, I mean like buildings, right? When you first start off, it's like, here, go design the bathroom, right? And then you get more senior and it's okay, go design the atrium when you walk in. And then eventually it's like, okay, now you can design the building, right? And then if you get further along, you know, VP of product or chief product officer at a very large company, it's okay, now you own this town and you've got to figure out how the products all fit together, like all the buildings, and how do you want this whole thing to look, this suite of products. But yeah, I got, like I said, I got quite lucky when I got into this.
Yeah, that's a really interesting analogy. I haven't had that sort of perspective before. I'll have to think a little bit about that one. So you're talking to these folks and they start to think, you know, they start to recommend, you know, maybe a product role for you and start small, right? What did you do, you know, when you noticed that theme of people recommending product management to you, what did you do after that?
I think I would then, I'm trying to remember, this was a while back, typically seed the conversations with that. Here's what I've heard. I've heard that product makes sense. You know, what do you think? But even then, once I got that first role, right, I got the toehold into the industry. It took a while before I actually started doing any of the, what you'd consider product management work, right? It was trying to do, demos of that software product. It was, some in sales. It was some sort of engineering management, for a bit. What I mean by that is, who's the right engineer to work on this and who's the right engineer to work on that, right? Kind of managing, you know, engineering resourcing, if you will. So it took a while before I was actually got my hands really dirty into full blown product work.
So I'm really curious about this question. What experiences or tools or skills did the others see in you that got them to say, you should look into product management?
So I think a variety of things. I think there were skills that they saw, and I think there was skills that I explicitly didn't have. So again, I think, you know, the natural curiosity, I think the being somewhat personable, being able to talk to people, solving, you know, being interested in solving problems. I think those are all the pluses, right? The things that kind of push me there. But I think the other pieces were, okay, those are all great, but that can be used in a variety of places. But I also was not going to be a good account executive. I was not going to be good at the cold calling and the sales aspect. I also wasn't going to be the guy who pops open the laptop and starts coding away, right? Building something. So I didn't have those skills. And I think that combination, also knowing what was popular here and what's, you know, software is fairly big here in Austin. If you're talking about working at a software company, this is the natural, you know, I gravitate towards being in product. So again, I think that it was what I do have and also a big indicator of what I don't have. So hopefully that answers the question.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that you've said that natural curiosity. That was sort of that first thing that came to your mind. And that's something that we've actually heard quite a bit on this podcast, right? Is curiosity is sort of a number one trait for product managers. Could you dive a little bit deeper into that and help our listeners understand perhaps why curiosity is important for product managers? And if they're not naturally curious, how might they develop that skill or trait?
So I think curiosity is crucial because I shouldn't say forces you to ask why, but it becomes a knee-jerk reaction to ask why. And asking why is critical to getting past that surface level of what. So it's very easy to come up with things, what we want it to do, right? What does the customer want? What do we want the product to do? And you can come up with what's all day long. To cut through the what, you need to go to the why. Well, why is this important? Why do we want to achieve this objective? Why do we want to build this new capability for a customer? Why does the customer want something? And drilling into that then really helps you distill what you want to do. Because there's a bazillion things you can do. But the trick is figuring out which are the most important. And I think being curious drives those why questions, which then helps you make better decisions. And if you're not naturally curious, I think this is going to be a difficult road for you. I'm not saying you can't develop it, but it's kind of like saying, I don't like to be hit and I don't like physical confrontation, but I want to be a football player. You can get over that, I guess. But if you don't have that sense of like, I want to go in and hit and get hit, right, and physically dominate somebody, chances are you're not going to like football. You might be good at it, but there's always going to be a little bit of psychological cringing when it comes to that aspect of the game. And in this game of product, you want to be very, very curious and keep asking why and keep pushing. So again, how do you develop that? Practice. Put a sticky on your monitor that says, ask why.
Yeah, the why question is so important. I've also found like, why now? Why do this thing now? That's another good why question as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
So if I'm not mistaken, I think you might have one of the most diverse paths that we've had before. I mean, that could probably be, that theory could be squashed pretty quick.
Well, it's not every day we get to talk to a petroleum engineer who worked on a nuclear submarine and oil rigs before becoming a financial advisor and getting an MBA. So, I mean,
right.
Pretty diverse path.
So, go for it, Trevor.
I was going to say, you don't have to have it figured out when you're 21.
Yeah. So, I would love to understand, what are some of the skill sets that the Navy or a drilling supervisor or a financial advisor that you've kept as you've come into product management and that you've used and relied on in your work?
So I think with some of the lessons I learned as a financial advisor, I did not, at the time I was a financial advisor, one of the reasons I was not great at it is because I had a pretty strong opinion of what people should do. And I wanted to tell them. And the problem is that what I was wanting to do was to give them concrete, actionable things to do. Here's how we should invest your money. And the problem with that is that until you can figure out how they're feeling, whether they're concerns, they don't care so much about your advice. You could give the same bit of advice to two different people, right? They could have vastly different, but until they think that that's going to resonate for them, right? And the only way you can do that is to drill into, okay, what do you need? What are your concerns? Are you looking to go gamble and just, you know, see what happens? Or are you looking for a very safe investment? Are you looking to make, and it took me a long time to figure that out, actually, in hindsight. Honestly, after I got out of that, that business, did I sort of see that? And I think there's a lot of the same truth to being in product management. You could have the same solution, right? Build the same thing, but until you can understand what the real pain is for the customer and continue to get that information out of them, they might not be so sold on your product or your vision. And I think also doing a lot of different jobs over the years, a lot of different careers, it's uncomfortable starting new things. It is a awkward process of trying to catch your bearings and look around and what's going on. But if you can get comfortable being uncomfortable, again, that can help you in this line of work, because you've got people who are, you know, you need to be able to be comfortable in that state of awkwardness and state of I'm not sure. And so trying to walk that fine line between being very curious, but also comfortable realizing that you know less than everybody else, or you have less experience than everybody else, but also being confident enough that you give them the comfort that you'll be able to help, you'll be able to help them out, right? And that's a fine line between those two extremes.
Yeah, I love that you say learning to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. Like in product management, it feels like every day almost I'm doing something that I had never ever imagined that I thought I would do. Right. Some brand new things. So learning how to be uncomfortable and learn, that's fantastic. Trevor, you recently wrote a book about product management. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so like I said before, I had no real formal experience in this. I'd wake up in the mornings and I realized it was like a kind of like a series of blog posts almost, with variations on a theme, and get up in the morning and write, you know, 600-800 words, get the kid ready for the day, and then start my job, and then rinse and repeat. And so, yeah, I'd also always wanted to write a book. I just didn't know what about. For some reason, it was always a goal of mine to write a book. And once I realized you could, you know, self-publish on Amazon, I thought this is a phenomenal, I've got no excuse not to now. And so I did.
Yeah, that's awesome. What's the name of your book, and where could our listeners find it?
Quick Start Guide to Product Management. What I wish I'd known when starting in product management. You can find it on the Amazon bookstore. You can also go to www.trevorbruner.com, and I've got a link to it from there as well.
Well, that's great. I'm sure we could spare a dollar to get the quick start guide, right?
There you go.
That sounds like a deal.
So Aaron and I have a lot of people reach out to us, and have had a lot of people in the past reach out to us of how do I get into product management, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them have MBAs, some of them don't. And then we get a lot of questions, and Aaron and I, you know, we think about this question often as well. Should we get an MBA? Mm-hmm. What benefit does an MBA have for somebody in product management? So we'd love your thinking and thoughts. You have an MBA, and so we'd love to kind of get your ideas there of how has an MBA helped And would you recommend an MBA for product managers?
So I would not be in this job if I did not have an MBA. That said, it's because of the connections I made that led me here. It's not necessarily because of what I learned in the classroom. Where I went, the focus was more on the business aspect was focused on larger businesses. It was not focused on small software companies or even, you know, even software companies in general. It was focused on larger, more traditional companies. And so because of that, the MBA, it's a nice thing to have on the resume. I don't think it has helped a ton in the day-to-day. I think you could read a couple business books and save a lot of money and gain a lot of the same knowledge that I have. But again, the connections helped me get into the into this. Someone I like to listen to, Scott Galloway, says that MBAs are for the affluent and aimless. And that resonates with me, right? I did not know what I wanted to do at the time, and I had a Navy scholarship to go get an MBA, and it was phenomenal. If I had to pay for it all on my own, I don't know that, you know, I'd have to, again, I'd have to ask the individual, why do you want to get an MBA? What is it you hope to gain? And then that would help me figure out if it makes sense for that person or not, because I don't think it makes sense for everybody. As big a fan as I am of higher education, it has helped somewhat when I'm talking to people in the finance department or you know, my previous company, I would go talk to the president of the company from time to time, and it helped give me a bit of a vocabulary to help understand their challenges. But when it came time to actually prioritizing features, you know, designing features, customer interviews, et cetera, it wasn't as helpful as just doing it, right? Just doing the job gave me the skills I needed to do the job better.
Yeah. Great insight there. MBAs are for the affluent and the aimless. So that's clever. Maybe one final question here. We've touched on this topic, or at least the question a little bit, and that is sort of the why, right? We've talked about why in a lot of different contexts, but I want to ask you, why should someone choose product management as a career?
I think that depends heavily on what they want to do, right? So one of the beautiful parts about being a product manager is you are often the most junior person in the room, right? You can be very junior and you're having conversations with, you know, directors and VPs and C-suite people about the direction of the business. So you get to live in the intersection. You are often the hub at the company. There's a lot of spokes coming out, right? There's sales and marketing and finance and all of those different parts. And you have to, you're in the middle of all of that. And if that's something you want to do, then that's great because you get to see a lot of the business. You get to be involved in a lot of conversations at fairly high levels that you wouldn't have that opportunity if you were in other parts of the business. That said, if you're not comfortable being in a room full of people who are one, two, three levels above you and the company and having to hold your own against them, this might not be the right spot for you. If you're not able to have difficult conversations with customers where they're saying, look, we've paid you a lot of money. Why haven't you built this feature that I've been asking you for? And being able to have those challenging conversations and not offending a customer, but at the same time, trying to stand your ground, this might not be the right spot for you. But you have an oversized influence, I feel, on how the company's going. And that's pretty cool for the role that it's in.
Thanks for listening today. These people's stories are incredible. Each one is unique and comparable all at the same time. We hope you enjoy them as much as we do. As product managers, we are always looking for feedback. So please don't hold back. Let us know how we are doing. Before you go, please consider subscribing. Also, give us a rating. It really helps this podcast reach an even greater audience.